Good morning. Thank you, team. So this morning we're going to do something a little bit different, and we're going to share a dream that we have for this church and this community. Before we get to it, the reason I'm using the word dream, not vision, is because quite often the term vision is quite heavy loaded. When someone says, God's given me a vision, it doesn't really give the receiver much wiggle room to say, oh, was that God or not? Especially if it's your pastor saying, God's given you a vision. It makes it very awkward for you guys to say, oh, don't think so, pastor. So we are using the term, for now, dream. Have we got the PowerPoint on the back there, Joe? Ta-da. Perfect, thank you. Also, a little bit different, Jen and I are going to be sharing this together. We're going to be co-preaching this morning, kind of inspired by the ice dancing pair for Canada that you saw. We thought, you know, let's do a few twirls or whatever. We'd fall badly. But we're going to share this together, beginning with recapping the last three topics of our sermon series, which has been, why do we pray, why do we evangelize, and also why do we serve? Let's pray. Father God, we just want to come before you and just want to acknowledge, Father God, that you are God. We are not. We are just here to serve, here to respond. Holy God, we just ask that you speak through us. Even in our vulnerable state of sharing a dream, I pray, Father God, you give us clarity and strength and as a body as well wisdom, just to discern you, to be led by you, Father God. We just want to respond and just give you all glory. So we give you this time in your awesome name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I recap, we're going to be starting next week with a new sermon series based in Proverbs 3. And something also different will be Jen and I will be here, but we won't be preaching. Some are going to cheer. Because part of our role as pastors is to also empower and equip. And we believe in Devon, and Devon will be preaching for his first time. It's your first time, right? Next week. So come next week and just give love and encouragement, Devon. I'm really excited about next week because I don't have to preach. I'm joking. So that's for next week to look forward to. But as we look back on our last three sermon themes of prayer, evangelism, and serving, the reason I'm doing this is because they are essential for what we will be sharing in this dream. We looked at prayer. Prayer is this communication. Prayer as an individual and as a body is essential. If we do not pray, then we're not having this direct communication. Our relationship with Jesus is not deep, it's shallow. We use the illustration of our relationship with our spouse. If Jen and I did not communicate, it would not be a very deep relationship. Prayer is an essential way to have a deep relationship with Jesus. It's also, by the way, when we're talking of dreams and visions, which you saw on that slide beforehand is scriptural. When we talk of dream visions, one of the first things you need to do when feeling you've received a dream or a vision is pray. Ask God, is this of you? Is this in your heart and nature? Also, use scripture, because here's the thing. God will not contradict himself. He will not give you something that is not clearly related and married into scripture. But also through prayer and asking for guidance and wisdom. Jesus prayed, we should also pray. Then we talk about evangelism, sharing this great news. I mean, if it's so good to us, why wouldn't we want to share it? It's not a gift that we just hold to ourselves. Jesus did it, he taught us to do it. When we think of evangelists, we think of people like Billy Graham, a saint who is with Jesus. But here's the thing, Billy Graham was Billy Graham. You are you. An evangelist isn't just on a stage in front of thousands doing amazing crusades. But an evangelist is sharing the love and the truth of Jesus to those people he's in relationship with, those people that he or she is working with, in family with. Having a desire to allow Christ shine through their light so that others can see this truth. A little quote of Billy Graham that I liked. Where's the paraphrase? I'm terrible at quotes. But I read this week. He once said, "One day you will hear or read that Billy Graham is dead. Do not believe a word of it. I'm alive in Christ. I'm in glory." I thought, that's pretty awesome. Thanks to God for people like him, but thanks to God for each and every one of us who has the ability to share the good news and to journey with people as they discover how great God is. We talked about serving, an act of response to this great news, a humbling to say, "You are worthy of my time, God. You are worthy of my finances. You are worthy of my dreams and desires, and so are the people that you've put me in. Allow me to serve, to allow your light to shine to those people that they see the truth." Jesus did it, and he taught us to do it. If we grasp that truth, if we say, "Yes, I've accepted Christ in my life, he's more than just a religion, he's more than just a tradition," then when he says to pray, when he says to share the good news, when he says to serve and humble yourself, if we are saying this is more than just a religion, this is life, this is truth, then our response is to do so. And each three work with each other, the evangelism, serving, and prayer. These three also fit perfectly with who we are as a church, as a local church, with our desire as a health check to be a church that is rooting to God, a continual process through reading scripture, through prayer, through fellowship, through spending time with God, so that when those waves in life come, when those storms come in life, that we are grounded to the truth. That's why we desire to be rooted in God, growing in Christ. You see, through evangelism, through even serving, and even praying, if you don't normally pray, that step out in faith, and I can tell you, I can promise to you, when you step out in faith, you personally will grow. You will grow in faith. You will become more bolder in who you are in Christ, but also the kingdom will grow. Growing in the name of Jesus. But then also to be called to reach out to others, to the lost, to the sick, to our brothers and sisters, to our enemies, to our neighbors, to reach out to all through serving. These are all areas that we are expected to do individually, and we encourage you to do that in your workplace, in your own home communities. It's what we're encouraged to do globally, and we as a local church do a great job at this in funding and supporting and praying through global missions, the Nazarene Church around the world, evangelizing and helping the need. We do a great job as a local church. We're a generous body. But we're also called to do these locally. Because we do not believe when the church was planted here in Erminskin and Steinhauer, that those here today that were part of that planning of putting the church here and those who have gone before us just randomly threw a dart at a map of Edmonton, it just landed here. I don't believe that. I believe there was prayer, that God purposely planted us here for a purpose and a reason. So this morning we'll be sharing a dream that is a mission for this local community. And our dream for this local community is bigger than us. Our dream is to be a place and ministry that allows everyone who enters to belong. Everyone in this local community and around and this church body to belong. A place to be heard. To be a ministry and place to be listened to. A place to be served. To be a vehicle for evangelism whilst being covered in prayer. A ministry that is of healing and rest, to be loved and to be discipled. A place for those in the community to serve alongside us and learn together to serve each other. A ministry that is lasting, so that we can journey with others through highs and lows of life, allowing Jesus to shine through. To be a place and a people and a ministry that others want to be part of. A place that actually people want to be in. To be a place of quality. Because when we serve, it needs to be quality. Because it shows that those people we are serving are quality and worth us giving our best. And a place that's even attractive. And quite often we struggle with this term, being attractive and church. Because when we think of church and attractive, we think of lights flashing, smoke machines, all that kind of stuff. When actually, when we think of attractive and church, we should think of Jesus. And I'm not talking about physically being attractive. I mean, he's the Son of God. I'm sure he was hot. But I'm talking about Jesus being attractive in the sense of meeting needs. You see, when people went to see Jesus, quite often they went because they heard of something amazing. They heard of a miracle. Their friends would have came home from feeding the 5,000 and would have said, "Hey, Bob." I'm not sure that might have been a name over there, but "Hey, Bob, you wouldn't believe what just happened. Wow, I want to see that." Or you think of the paralyzed man and his friends. When they went to see Jesus, they didn't know at that point about salvation and what Jesus could do. They just heard about a man who could heal. That was the attraction. That was the desire. Wow, we need this need met. And so we're going to go to Jesus. But when they were with Jesus, yes, their needs were met. But boy, did they find more. They found forgiveness, they found salvation, they found life that is only through Jesus. And our desire with this dream that Jen's going to share now is that we be a place and a ministry that, yes, people want to come to. And it's done well. But when they find it, and they find us, they ultimately find Jesus. And life is changed.
How does this look locally for us? Johnny had that dartboard scenario. And in the 80s, when this church was built, after the fire on White Ave, and the relocation had to happen, we don't believe that it was a fluke that we were planted here. Ermeskin and Steinhauer is our local community. And when you look around our local community, when this church was built, it was surrounded by nothing. And yet now, we are surrounded by people, by homes, by families, immigrants, by all sorts. And really interesting, last year, I went to a Mustard Seed presentation, which is an organization cross-denominational within Edmonton to end poverty in Edmonton. And for the south side of Edmonton, one of the top five communities for high social vulnerability is Ermeskin. Did you know that? We have been planted in the south side of Edmonton in one of the highest communities for vulnerability amongst people. And a lot of this comes because we are surrounded by immigrants. We are surrounded by low-income housing. We are surrounded by a need. We have old folks' homes, Southside Manor, and the new tower that's been built of vulnerable adults as well as young families. The 2016 census shows that there are 1,200 children under the age of 19, 350 under the age of 4. This was 2 years ago. Those numbers have just gone up. Like, it's huge. And then 70 plus, there's 1,000. In Ermeskin Steinhauer alone, we're not a huge location, and yet there are so many people that live within our boundaries. And if you walk around our community, you'll notice that there aren't a lot of churches. There aren't a lot of community things going on. We have one community building. We have the dentists and the doctors that are right here on the corner, and then we have Safeway. And there are three churches in this local community. But for the amount of people that live in this community, if every of those three churches was filled to capacity, there still wouldn't be enough churches and enough presence in our local community. And living here in this community, we've observed a lot of the stuff that's gone on. We're part of the local school. Just this week, we shared with you a few months ago that we're partnering with Steinhauer School. Just this week, I got a call from the principal and said, would you guys as a church be able to help a family who's in need that are struggling to put groceries on the food on the table? And I said, yes, I'll bring a gift card on the next morning. And then I met with her on Thursday, and she said, that mom was going without so that her child could eat. And that money that you as a church were able to give to that family has provided in very tangible ways. We've given to the school for local families over the winter 8 snowsuits for families who are in need, who couldn't kit out their kids for the winter. You know, there's a huge partnership that's going on here. You know, people keep putting food in the boxes to be able to feed kids at lunch who don't bring lunch, so that the school actually has something to give to these children so they don't have empty bellies. That's massive. But what can we do with what we have been given here locally in this community? Every Tuesday morning, did you know that in the fellowship hall, you did if you were here last week because I shared about it, we have moms from the local community come with their toddlers, and we have a time where the kids just play together and we just chat with the moms. We had a new mom this last Tuesday come, who read about us in the local community newspaper, contacted us through our website, which was fantastic. And as she was sitting there, one of the things that she said to me was, this is so fantastic that your church is opening its doors to do something like this. We need this. And we do need this. This community needs us to open our doors more than a Sunday morning, to say we want to love this community, because Jesus loves this community. And so the dream that we want to present to you today is called the atrium. We have been blessed with a space that is massive, and we need to use it for God's glory, for His kingdom building. Last week, we mentioned some of those practical things that are going on. Joy happened on Friday. It was great for all those who came to help serve those toddlers happening. I'm not going to go through the list again. Listen to last week. There's a lot that's already going on in this church, but there's more because our building isn't used throughout the week enough. God's given it to us. And so the dream is to be able to use it every day of the week, to make a presence in this community that if we were to, for whatever reason, had to close, the community would go, oh, we can't do without you. We need you as a church, because you're such an impact in this community. Our atrium, that foyer that you walked into this morning, is such a beautiful space to meet and to gather. Just this morning, one of the couples that come for bread each and every week, they were looking at all the plants and going, this is such a beautiful area. And I was able to kind of briefly share what I'm sharing with you today to say it is such a beautiful area that we need to use it more. To create the atrium into a cafe, and then to have an indoor playground for those families who can't afford to take their kids to the bigger ones because they're expensive, they have to drive to get there, whatever reasons, to have something local for families. Ultimately, it's meeting a need within our community. With the community cafe becoming a hub of activity in the church, a place to belong and to build lasting, meaningful relationships throughout the week, a place to find ethical, affordable, quality refreshments in a welcoming and comfortable environment. Open during the week, church then becomes more than just a Sunday morning. Opportunities within the cafe to buy it forward. I don't know if you've heard of this concept, where you buy a coffee or a cake for somebody who can't afford it, and it gets put on a shelf or put on a board, and when somebody comes in who doesn't have the money to buy it, they can take that off and say, I'd like to trade this in. So that anybody can come into this space and find a warm drink. Find something to eat. Quality. Again, Johnny was very keen on that. Quality. Anything that we do has to be our best because we're serving Jesus. And we can't serve him half-heartedly. We can't just do second best for him because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have got to give him our best, which means no matter who comes in our doors, they get our best as well. An inviting space, a place where you can come and relax, you can build relationships, you can meet with people, you can gather together, you can find a place of belonging. The indoor playground would be for parents and grandparents who stay at home to look after their children. And they too need a community. They need a place to gather. That's what we've seen toddlers become. One day of the week, how about five? The indoor playground along with the cafe will be a gathering place for community to happen. An affordable, accessible playground will allow even the lower income families around us to access quality activity for their children and to find belonging in the community. There's a concept circulating around of a third space. People like to belong. We need to belong. Home is a place where you belong. Work or school is a place that you belong. But studies are showing that you want another place. And that's your third space. This cafe would be able to become that third space for so many people here within our own fellowship and with the community around us, where you can find that place to be yourself while belonging with others. Opportunities for service. Through the cafe and the indoor playground, it will provide opportunities for us as a church to serve alongside those within our community. A great opportunity to be able to build people's volunteer resumes, to help get people ready for work, teenagers or whoever it might be, to be able to give them skills to go into the workforce. What a great opportunity with that. Ministry opportunities. In time, as we're having people belong in our building, in this space that God has given to us, we get to know them, we have relationships built, needs will arise. And so ministry opportunities will arise. Things such as job clubs, clothing banks, widow support groups, alpha studies, cafe church, and so many more become possibilities because we're seeing the need of the local community as we're building relationships with the local community. The atrium will be so much more than just a cafe. It will look like a cafe, but it will be more than a cafe. It will be a springboard for ministry to happen in our local church when people find belonging even before they believe. And evangelism. Relationships are crucial. If we don't know our community, if we're not building relationships, it's very hard to evangelize. Our lives should be lived in constant evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus through our very nature. The atrium will provide a space for the church to be tangible hands and feet of Jesus in our local community, sharing the good news with every cup of coffee we serve and with every person that we welcome in. So how can you participate? This is an investment for us as a church. This dream is going to come at a cost. There's a transformation physically that needs to take place. The board have given the go-ahead. But in order for it to actually go ahead, more than just saying, yes, we believe in this, we need the church to come behind it. We need the church to continue to dream of what it will look like and to take hold of that dream, to pray. Pray that God's will be done in all of this, for unity as us, as a body, as we move forward in this process, for relationships to be built with our local community, and that individuals will come to know Christ through this ministry, because what it all comes down to is that we're sharing the love of Jesus, and people come to see and to know who Jesus is and the power that he can have in their lives. You can help with the planning stage, the steering group. I'm looking for a group of people who want to work alongside me in determining the costing, the legalities of it all of the little nitty-gritty details that need to take place. We're good at dreaming, but getting it actually down to the finite detail takes more than one or two people. And so if you want to be a part of that team, please let me know. And that would be great as we gather together and join together with people who know what they're doing, because I don't know what I'm doing, and be able to come up with these nitty-gritty, what actually will it take to make this happen? If you've got skills in construction, we need transformation. There's a lot of work to be done physically throughout this building in order to make this happen. We can use you. Again, help transform the current foyer into the Atrium Cafe. And then when we get to the stage of the playground, it's probably going to be a stage one and stage two. And all these things that will happen, we need practical people to do practical things. Once the cafe's up and running, you can help serve by volunteering. And on the shifts that the cafe would be open, serving coffee, cleaning up, whatever it might be, baking to be able to provide homemade baked goods would be fantastic. All of that will happen once the cafe is up and running. And then donate. The Atrium is an exciting ministry opportunity that needs our time and energy, skills and resources. There's also a financial investment for the church in this. Any individual extra financial support would also be welcome as we get this to go on. Each of you can take home one of these. It's what I've just shared. You can have this. Inside, you'll find a little card. If you are interested in helping in any of these stages, which are all listed on the back here, please let us know. Because if you don't tell us, we can't guess. So we do need you to let us know, either today or in the coming weeks. There's a box at the back of the sanctuary there that you can just pop it in, or you can put it in your offering plate, or you can email me, whatever it might be, however it might be. If you are interested in being part of any of this at any stage, please let us know. Any questions as well? Ask. Ask one of your board members. Ask us. Talk about it. Don't just think you'll be answered, but ask. Ask those questions, and there is no dumb question that comes to it. There is no silly question. If you have that as a question, somebody else might too. And so let's clarify, let's converse in this as we dream together. Let's keep dreaming to make an impact in our local community. Because as we said, we were planted here for a reason, for a purpose, to make an impact in Ermeskin and Steinhauer. And this is the dream, to be the church that impacts our community. That's the end of that one. We're going to pray now. And there we go. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who continues to excite us and ignite us to your kingdom work. And God, as we've shared this dream today that we truly believe that you've put on our hearts, God, for the use of this space that you have given us, God, we just pray that you will keep igniting fires within us, that you will keep passion growing in how we can reach this community. And God, we just pray for each and every one of us here, that if we've heard something today, that it just goes, oh, that's exciting. God, that we will step forward and step out in faith. Because God, if we aren't stepping out in faith, trusting you each and every the way, then we're our own agenda. And God, we don't want to be our own agenda. We don't want to do it because it would be cool. We don't want to do it because it would be trendy. We want to do it because you're calling us to do this. So God, we continue to seek your guidance, to seek your wisdom, to seek your will for us as a church in our local community here of Ermeskin and Steinhauer. And God, we pray for our local community. We pray for all of these families and these houses that surround our building. God, help us to just shine your light. Help us to be your church, your body. And may many come to know who you are. And the transformation, the grace that comes because of your Son. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for loving us. And for allowing us to dream with you. In your awesome name, amen.
Please stand with us.